Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Come on, let's give the Lord thanks together. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We serve an awesome God tonight. Amen. Amen. We serve an awesome God tonight. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Amen. 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 It's good to see all of you here tonight in the house of God. And we're going to get right into the word of the Lord. If I'd get a couple men to bring my chalkboard up here on the platform. All right. And that's all I need is the chalkboard there. But it is good to see all of you here tonight in the house of God. And we are expecting great things from the Lord because our God is a great God. Our God is a great God tonight. Amen. Move it over that way just a little bit, guys. Can everybody see that all right? All right. I just want to use it for a visual here tonight. And I will try my best to put the scriptures up here. But if you have a pencil, a piece of paper, then you can write down the scriptures. I'm going to be using a fair amount of scriptures here tonight. Something came to me in prayer a week or 2 weeks ago, and I've kind of been just thinking about it and mulling it over in my mind. And then I began to look in the Word of God. You know, it's wonderful to read the Word of God. Right. It's great to read the Word of God. But it is really awesome to study the Word of God. To learn how to study the Word of God. And there is a way to study the Word of God and to get the full meaning and the context of what the Lord is trying to tell us in so many very different areas. Tonight, I'm gonna work on something that I'm not sure I've ever even preached about before. And don't anybody get worried tonight. We're not going to get off on anything weird. But let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Amen. Are you glad you're in God's house tonight? I'm glad I'm in God's house tonight. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 3. And we're going to go to verse 27. And just going to pick it up here. It's in the middle of some other things that Paul is talking about. But let's look at it here. Where is boasting then? Everybody said boasting. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay or no, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. He was speaking about circumcision here. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not only of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Amen. Tonight I want to minister for a little while. And I've got a little extra time here tonight. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Well, praise God. And I want to talk about boasting.
Amen.
Boasting. Amen. Boasting. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, boasting. Boasting. All right. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated here tonight. Let's look at the Word of God. As I normally do, I look up words to find out what they mean because we want to know exactly what the Lord meant when he said what he said. And to boast here means to brag or to vaunt oneself, to make an ostentatious display in speech of one's own worth, property, or actions. And then it also means to glory or to speak with a laudable pride and ostentation of meritorious persons or things. In other words, to make a boast about somebody else that you think is really wonderful. Amen. And so boasting is not altogether a bad thing, but it is talked about in the Word of God. Boasting here is something that we find in the Scriptures that I'm not really sure in all my days of living for the Lord I've ever heard anybody preach about boasting. And to go off onto this subject here, but in the New Testament alone, the words boasting, boasted, and boast are 31 times. And so it is very significant when something is brought out that many times, especially in the New Testament. And I think the Lord would have us to understand the meaning of this and the application of it in our lives. And so when we talk about boasting, I thought what I would do is just divide the chalkboard in half here tonight. And on one side, we're going to put good. Everybody said good. And the opposite of that, which is bad. Everybody said bad. All right, so we're going to talk about good and we're going to talk about bad. And I always like to finish out with good things, so we're going to talk about the bad first. Praise God. All right, and so Paul is writing to the Romans here, and it says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 23, Romans chapter 2 and verse 23, maybe I won't get all the scriptures written down here, but Paul gives us something here, Romans 2:23, that thou makest thy boast, thou that makest thy boast of the law, through the breaking of the law, dishonorest thou God? All right, so there are those that in the day of the Apostle Paul that were boasting of themselves in that they were boasting about the law of Moses. Not only was it the law of Moses, but it was their adherence to the law of Moses that they were boasting about. And they said, we know the law, and they had a certain air about them that they were better than other people because they understood the law and they lived their lives according to the law. The truth of the matter is that yes, they did have the law, and yes, the law of the Lord was perfect and is perfect, but there was something there that they could not themselves even obey the law themselves. But they felt as though because they had the law and they were doing their best to live the law, that somehow or another they were better than other people. And they began to boast in the law. They were people who boasted of the law but broke it themselves. And he goes on in Romans 3 and 27, and I read it tonight, where is boasting then? And the great apostle said, it is excluded. Amen. But by what law? Of works? No, it's not by the law of works, but by the law of faith. Amen. And so when we come to God, there are some things that we boast of, but this is not one of them. We can never get to the place where we feel that because we do more than others, that we are better than others. Amen. Amen. There's a certain attitude that God respects in the Word of God, and this is not one of them. Amen. Because I have done certain things does not make me better than anybody else. We'll be looking at some other scriptures here tonight. But it is simply the grace of God, or it is a matter of faith. Because if you think about it here tonight, God can do anything, can't he? There is nothing impossible with God, and God created all things. And so is there anything that we could do tonight that would impress God as far as works are concerned? No, God could mow the grass if he wanted to. God wouldn't even have to have a lawnmower. Amen. God could vacuum up the church and keep it clean every week. And he wouldn't have to do it in an hour or two. It would be done in the blink of an eye. Amen. And so the works that we do, or even as Paul was writing to the people that were trying to make the Gentiles adhere to the law of circumcision and other laws, he was saying here that if we do anything for God, it's got to be done by the law of faith. Amen. It can't be done for any other reason. It can't be done because I want to prove that I'm a good person. I can't prove that I'm a good person by what I do. I can only show God who I am by what I am in my life, what I say and the things that I do in my life. Praise God. It is the will of God that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we are not saved, Scripture says, by any work that we could do, any ceremonial work or law that is involved here in the Old Testament. I cannot come up with some things and impress God with it, but there is one thing that pleases God. There is one thing that impresses our God tonight, and that is when we walk by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jacob whittled sticks, and he got a nice herd out of the deal, and there was no law that said you had to do that, but he did it by the law of faith. I'm going to use what I've got, and I'm going to turn it over to God, and I believe that God's grace and God's goodness is going to bless it. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, this is very important that we understand this, because there are those that would come along that would try to bring us back to the spirit of law in our lives, and that our whole existence in God is based upon laws that we must follow and rules and regulations that may or may not even be scriptural. Amen. What we've got to come to, what you and I must come to in our life, is a commitment to God, a personal commitment of faith to God. Amen. Where we say, God, I'm going to live for you no matter what. Amen. I'm going to worship you no matter what. I'm going to give you thanks no matter what. Praise God. Does anybody ever praise the Lord in your car on the way to work? Well, praise God. It shouldn't be hard to worship God in church then. Amen. How many of us praise God when you wake up in the morning and you say, thank you, Lord, for this day? Amen. We ought to be able to do that because of a walk of faith. I believe that God is with me. I believe that God is the greatest thing in my life. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says this. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. There's faith again. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Everybody said it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, praise God. Now I want to say tonight that we don't receive grace from a man. We don't receive grace from any person. Amen. It is the gift of God. It is not the gift of your pastor to you. It is not the gift of your friend to you. It is not the gift of an elder to you. Amen. But grace comes from Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. It is the gift of God, and it is not given by works, but it is given through faith. Amen. When we believe God and we walk with God and we trust God, then the grace of God is afforded to us. The grace of God lifts us up and gives us strength. I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't receive it from anything but from Him. And so when we boast, amen, we cannot boast of the law. Amen. We cannot boast of anything, but we must boast in our God tonight. Amen. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so he said to others there, he said, you better not be boasting against Israel. And as I began to look at this, there's something that came up to me and made me really think about it. There's a lot of folks today that are criticizing the nation of Israel. And there are those over the course of history that have criticized the nation of Israel. But let's look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 17. And it'll give us a little bit of a perspective here. Romans chapter 11 and verse 17. He said, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the Romans, the Christian Romans, which are Gentiles. They were not raised as Hebrews. And they were called here in the scriptures a wild branch. Amen. And we can stand back, folks, and we can say, oh, look at them, they fell. Look at them, they didn't make it. And here's the reason why they didn't make it. It's very easy. Hindsight is 20/20, as they say. And it's very easy to look at others and say, well, if it was me, I'd be doing it this way. I think it's very comical to me that people that don't have any accomplishments in their life can stand up and criticize our president or elected officials, and they have never done anything nor stood in their shoes and don't know exactly what they're facing. Amen. And it's very easy for us as Christians to point fingers at each other and to say, well, if they had it together, it wouldn't be like this, that, or the other. The truth of the matter is, I really don't know what they're going through. I really don't know what you're going through. You don't really know what I'm going through. Amen. And in relationship to Israel, there is much criticism of Israel. There has been for a long, long time. And he says, if some of the branches are broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. Amen. All right, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches.
Right.
Praise the Lord. The root of the situation is we need God in our lives.
Amen.
And so he says, boast not against the branches. Amen. What we are here tonight, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And so every one of us here tonight are branches on God's tree. We are branches on God's vine, and it is the will of God that we not boast against one another. Amen. Somebody help me here tonight. That we boast not against one another and go down that road. He said, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Amen. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off. That would be Israel. Israel was cut off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, that's the opposite of faith, they were broken off. Thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Amen. We should be very careful as Gentiles here tonight. And I know the scripture says there is neither Greek nor there's no more Hebrew, there's no more Greek. We're all one in Jesus Christ. I think this goes to Israel, but I think it also goes to others. Amen. Others. Praise God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
All have fallen by the wayside. And as the old song, I don't think we've ever sang it here, Love Lifted Me. Love lifted me. When nothing else would help, love lifted me. Amen. It's a beautiful song. It's a slow song, and it talks about the love of God. Amen. How can we come up and be used of God and be blessed of God if all we receive is somebody boasting against us? Amen. I don't think that it's really that easy. Now, some folks got the ability that if they're put down, they just keep coming back up. But you know what? It makes the journey a whole lot easier if we can build one another up and help one another and strengthen one another instead of boasting against one another. And I'm preaching to you here tonight, and I have failed in this, and you have failed in this. And yet we want to be an encouragement here tonight that we should not be boasting against Israel. Amen. Or boasting basically against those that have been broken off or cut off. Amen. I never am excited whenever I hear of somebody fall away from God. It does not excite me one little bit. Amen. The Bible says, if any man falls, that you which are spiritual should restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. Just because we're not in that position here tonight does not mean that we're better than anybody else, and it doesn't mean that we're in any higher place. Amen. We're all sitting here tonight, amen, bags of mud, praise God, wrapped up in a bag of skin, amen, dressed nice and looking nice. But when it comes down to it, we are all flesh, and we need to help one another and pray for one another. And so he talks about boasting against Israel. Then he talks about another area of boasting, and it's boasting about tomorrow. Everybody said tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Proverbs 27 verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, isn't that so true?
Amen.
All it takes is a phone call from the doctor.
Amen.
All it takes is a letter from the bank. All it takes is something unexpected to come up. And, you know, some folks worry about that, and they try to hedge themselves away from every little thing that can go wrong. But I've come to realize that I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. If I buy an insurance policy for everything that might happen, I'll have to work three jobs and I'll die young. Amen. Won't help me one little bit. Amen. All the health insurance in the world isn't going to make you healthy.
Right.
Well, praise God. And we have this idea in our modern age that all the things that we have are going to help us. But one of the things that we cannot do is get high-minded of ourselves and forget that we have no control over our future. Amen. When we get to a place where we shouldn't be, we boast of what tomorrow's going to bring. I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. The Bible says that we should not boast of tomorrow and say, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. What we need to say is it the will of God that we do this? And the familiar scripture in James chapter 4 and verse 13, back towards the book of Revelation, is the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13. He says, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Amen. He said, there's those that say, we're going to do this. We're going over here. We're going to be there for a certain amount of time. We're going to get gain. And he says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while or a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. Amen. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so when we boast of tomorrow, we've got to be careful about this. Amen. We cannot boast of tomorrow and say, this is what's going to happen. If God tells you what's going to happen, you can say it. Amen. But you need to be right about that. You need to be sure about that. Amen. Because when we boast of tomorrow, we are literally putting ourselves in the place of controlling our own life. Amen. Amen. Now I'll tell you, it seems like when you're young, you're going to live forever. You got mega amounts of energy, and you can jump and run, and you can do all kinds of things. I can see it by the enthusiasm on the front row tonight. Amen. I'm sure you guys been busy all day, and you've been going at it and really working hard because you got all kinds of energy and everything. But I'll tell you what. If that's not the case, I hate to see you when you're 50. Lord, help us. Amen. Praise God. Give me a muscle flex, Gavin. Oh, wow, that's pretty impressive. Amen. You got it. I mean, you've got a future. You've got some things that you're planning for in your future. Amen. But young person, mom and dad, all of us here tonight, we need to adopt this where we say, if the Lord will. Right. Really, this is in Scripture. Because if we don't, then we will be headed to evil. And evil is when we take control of our own life. Right. Praise God. Well, there's things we've got to do for ourselves. There are things that we must do for ourselves, and we have the ability to do for ourselves. But we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. And so we must say, if the Lord will. Somebody said that, if the Lord will. You know, we're going home tonight after church. We're going to head to the house. Amen. If the Lord will, I'm headed to the house. Praise God. We're going to a church service on Friday night. Going to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And if the Lord will. Amen. If the Lord will. Because we don't know what a day is going to bring. And so we don't boast in the law. We don't boast in against the law. We don't boast against Israel, tomorrow, or yourself. All right, let's look at it here tonight. The Bible does talk about this. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 15, back in the Old Testament here, about 800 years before Jesus Christ, so about 2,800 years ago. I think this is such a great example of grace and God's power working through us. Isaiah 10 and 15. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood? Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning fire, burning like the burning of a fire. Amen. And so shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith. Amen. I should have brought an axe. I've got a double-edged axe at the house. And it just sits out there in the shed. Does the axe say, yeah, I've cut down 15 trees in my life? Does it boast of the things that it's done? Could the axe do anything without a person picking it up and swinging the axe? Of course, the answer is no. The axe can do nothing of itself. It has to have somebody to pick it up and to use it. Amen. Wouldn't it be silly for somebody that's carrying a rod to set the rod over there and the rod say, yeah, I've walked 50,000 steps this year. You know, they say 5,000 a day, or is it 10,000 a day? Brother Reed, you know the answer to that. About 10,000 a day, something like that. Well, man, if you've got 365 days, man, that rod could say, I've done this. I've gone many, many miles. And he could say it with a listful look in his eyes. I've traveled many, many miles. No, you didn't travel many miles. Somebody picked you up and carried you with them many miles. Well, I've cut down 1,000 trees. No, you didn't cut down 1,000 trees. You were just picked up by somebody and used as a tool to cut down all of those trees. Praise the Lord. And so the axe cannot boast against the one that uses it, and neither can any of us boast against the Lord and boast of ourselves and what we have done. Amen. I have seen those that boast, and it's usually not very impressive. After a while of boasting, everybody's wanting to leave the conversation and go somewhere else. Sometimes I hear things about people and all of the fantastic things that they have done. Amen. And I wonder about them. Amen. Because of the boasting. Psalm chapter 94 and verse 4. It says, how long shall they utter and speak hard things? All the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Talk about what they have done. But really, whatever we do, folks, it is done by the grace of God. Whatever we do in our lives, whatever we accomplish, anything that we could have ever done, we cannot feel good about ourselves in our accomplishments alone. We must boast ourselves in the Lord. Amen. We cannot boast ourselves. Boast of ourselves. Amen. Psalm chapter 97 and verse 7. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. All right, so here's a bit of wisdom tonight. It says they are confused or confounded. Be all they that serve graven images that boast themselves of idols. So I got to thinking about that, and people that boast themselves in idols, or people that worship idols, actually an idol is something that somebody makes that is a representation of themselves. Amen. And then they begin to worship that idol because they are really worshiping themselves. Amen. And he said, that's why we should not boast of ourselves. There are many gods. Amen. Idolatry is making a god that represents you. There's gods of anger, gods of sensual things, gods of materialism, and they represent the maker of it. And because there are common things in flesh, then other people will bow down and worship that god as well. Amen. This is a representation of how I see myself, of how I view myself. And that's why boasting is so very dangerous. Amen. We cannot boast in ourselves, and we cannot boast in our accomplishments. It all comes from God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Acts chapter 5 and verse 36 gives us a result of boasting. And this is just one example here where one of the wise men stood up. They were going to go against the disciples, and he brought out something here about a man named Thutis. And it says, for before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. Amen. Well, praise God. We can't make ourselves our own god and boast in what we have done. Amen. We must boast in the Lord tonight.
Amen.
So that's the bad. Everybody said bad. All right, we're going to look at the good. Amen. And this may seem a little bit odd at first, and it was when I read it. But good boasting is when we boast in our authority. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8. Oh, Lord, this just opened my eyes tonight. Are y'all getting anything out of this?
Amen.
I hope so. We want to bless you while you're here on Wednesday night. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 8. He says, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." All right, Paul said, I have been given authority by God, and I am boasting of my authority. I am proclaiming my authority. I'm not bragging about it, he says, but I am declaring my authority that has been given to me by God. I remember we had a preacher from Iola come here. I forget his name, brother. Y'all forgot his name too. Amen. Well, anyway, he came and he worked at a factory in Iola, Kansas. And one of the men on the job there got a promotion to supervisor. And he told me, he said, it's amazing. He said the next day he came into work, he walked differently. He didn't walk the same as he did the day before, because now I'm a supervisor. Now I've got some authority. And all of us have some authority in our lives. If you're a parent, you have authority. If you have younger siblings, then you have some sort of authority. All of us affect other people with a certain amount of authority in our lives. Amen. God has given the pastor some authority. God has given authority in many, many areas. And it's brought out in Scripture. I'm not going to go through all of those here tonight. But the authority that God gives us, as Paul was writing here to the Corinthians, he said it was not for your destruction, but it was for your edification. Amen. We have authority tonight. Did you know that? Did you know that when you have the Holy Ghost, you have spiritual authority?
Amen.
We can bind the devil. We can pray for the sick and that they can be healed. Amen. We can. We have authority tonight. Jesus gave his disciples authority. And it did not go to their head. They got excited about it. They came back boasting about it. Lord, the devils are subject unto us. Lord, we raise the dead, we heal the sick, and we're just excited about this. It is so grievous when we see those that use the authority that is biblical, that is God-given, to destroy people. God has not given us the authority that he has given us to destroy people. As a parent, you haven't been given the authority to destroy your children. Amen. If you're a supervisor on the job, you haven't been given that authority to destroy people. Amen. He has not given us the authority that we have. Amen. He has, and really when we look at it, any authority that we have is not ours. It came from him. We are stewards of our authority. We are stewards of this grace that God has given to us. And Paul said, I rejoice, amen, I rejoice, or I boast somewhat more of our authority, and I'm not ashamed of that, amen. God gave me that authority, and I'm going to use that authority.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, I'm going to declare that authority. And it might come down to this: you don't agree with it, I'm the parent here. And you're going to do it this way.
Right.
You know what that's for? Your edification.
Amen.
I think I missed some folks here tonight. That's for your edification. You're not going to run out in the street. Well, I want to. You're not going to do it. And if you do it, you're getting in big trouble.
Right.
Oh, well, you're just an authoritarian. No, I've got authority and I'm using my authority, and you better listen to my authority. Amen. Because I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm trying to help you. Praise God, I'm trying to edify, or the word edify means to build up and to strengthen. Amen. If you are a person of authority tonight, use your authority to bless those that are under you, whatever capacity it is. Amen. And one of the things that we cannot do is get to the place where we boast of our spiritual authority in pride. Amen. But we should boast of our spiritual authority in certain ways. There are times that I have bound Satan. Amen. Satan, get behind me. Amen. I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll tell you what, there is a power that you feel in the Holy Ghost when you speak to those evil spirits that harass you. Amen. We're not a sick, weakly, praise God. We're not an anemic church. Amen. We're not weak. Amen. And God help us. The only way we can be strong is to take our authority and to say, you gave me that mountain. I'm going to go take that mountain. I'm going to look at the giants in the promised land. They're bread for us. They're food for us. Let's go right now and take them. Oh, well, you're just bragging. No, you're not bragging. You're just saying, give me the opportunity and I'll go fight that giant Goliath. I'll go. Well, you're just a boy. You're bragging. You're boasting. That's what they thought he was doing. You came out in the naughtiness of your heart to see the battle, and you can go back and brag to everybody else. But friend, David was not bragging about it. He really wasn't. He was boasting in the authority that he knew he had in God.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. It's all right to tell somebody on the job if they're feeling sick, would you like for me to pray for you? That's not boasting. Amen. That's understanding your spiritual authority. There's nothing wrong with getting upset in prayer and saying, devil, get behind me. I'm breaking through in my prayer meeting tonight, and I'm going to have the victory when it's all said and done. Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with the pastor taking spiritual authority at times, amen, and dealing with situations in the church. There's nothing that I know of that we have to deal with in the church, but there have been times that it's been that way. And God help us that we don't do it in such a way that it destroys somebody, amen, but we want to help somebody. We want to help them and help them to understand that they're headed to a lake of fire without God. We must boast of our authority. We must boast of others. Praise the Lord. And we've all failed in this one. 2 Corinthians 9:2, but I'm going to try to help us to understand this and practice this. 2 Corinthians 9:2. For I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Now, who's he writing to? He's writing to the church in Corinth. He's writing to that church that had lots and lots of trouble. What he could have done was said, well, here's a list. Here's a list of all the bad things that I want to bring out. Here's a list of all the negative things. And now get your act together, Corinthian church. Paul was very straight with them, and history tells us when they read the first letter that he wrote to them that they broke down and they began to weep. Oh, it is so easy. It is so easy to find faults in other people. And I wonder why it's that way. It's probably that way because we really don't want anybody talking about our faults. Amen. But Paul boasted here, and if I read this correctly tinight, Paul is saying that he boasted to Titus in the verses before this, that he was boasting to Titus of the Corinthian church, that troubled church, Amen. He saw some good in there, and he communicated it to Titus. And the Bible says that it refreshed Titus. It refreshed him. Amen. How many of you, when somebody comes up, and dear God help us, we've all been guilty of this, somebody comes up to you and says, hey, did you hear about Nathan? And then we go down, list A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and we get all the way to Z, and we don't have any place else to go, so we go 1, 2, 3, and when I'm all done talking about it, do you feel good about things? You feel good about Nathan? You feel good in your spirit? You don't feel good in your spirit. You know what I really love? And I love when somebody calls me up. Brother Scott called me up the other day, and he said a 17-year-old young man in his church, or not in his church, but a brother of one of the men in his church from California was coming to visit, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. I rejoice in that. It refreshes my spirit. Amen. I don't like to get those phone calls. Man, did you hear da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Not another one. Not another story. Not another negative thing. No, tell me something good. Tell me what God's been doing in your church. Tell me what God's been doing in your life. Amen. Tell me some good things. What's a good scripture that you just read recently that you could share with me? I don't know why it got quiet there. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, the Bible talks about gossip, and I'm not going to talk about it here tonight, but it talks about gossip. But the opposite of that is Proverbs 25 and verse 11. Proverbs 25 and verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
No? All right, yeah, Pastor, it's cool. You know what? We need to compliment. Amen. Do you compliment more than you criticize? Amen. Sometimes, I'll tell you, we go the wrong way. We see the faults, and that's all we can think about and talk about. But Romans 14 and verse 19, it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Everybody said peace. Peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And of course, that word edify means to build up or to strengthen. Amen. And so we must boast of others. Praise God.
Amen.
And before I go to the next one, what makes more of an impression on you? If somebody comes up and tells you how great you are, or if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, did you know so-and-so was bragging on you? Really? Man, they were just praising you and bragging on you. Amen. That makes more of an impression right there. Praise God. All right, so we must boast in the Lord. Everybody said the Lord.
The Lord.
The Lord. Amen. And this word that David wrote in the book of Psalms, and I don't have it written down here for some reason, but David said, I will make my boast in the Lord. Amen. I missed putting that scripture down. But he said, I will make my boast in the Lord. Amen. And it means to shine, or to be clamorously foolish, or to rave about something. Amen. To celebrate or to commend. Amen. And if there's any person or anyone that we should brag on, it's the Lord. Amen. Because when you look at his nature, you look at God's character, God's power, God's providing hand, God's love, his grace, his salvation, everything about God, amen. There's something inside that's just got to come out. Amen. I have a great God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Do you have a great God tonight?
Amen.
I serve a great God. Amen. People are going to notice that something's different about you. Praise God. If it's all right, Brother Mike told me that guys on the job have been working for him in many, many years. Said, man, you look different. What's happened in your life? We've seen a change in your life. Amen. And he's had a little bit of opportunity to talk to them about what's happened to him in his life. Amen. That's boasting in our God. I'm not boasting in myself. I'm not boasting about tomorrow. I'm not boasting and saying I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm just going to be a witness, like a witness on a stand. Amen. That says, I saw this. I heard this. I was there when it happened. I am a credible witness. Amen. And to witness for God is much more. Amen. It's not going out knocking doors and witnessing. It's not handing out tracts. Amen. As they have in one of the Sunday school classes, people don't want to, they don't care about what you know. They want to know if you care. Amen. And really, a witness is just living the life in front of others. And when they approach you, amen, you can sow the seed, little seeds here and there. But don't go around walking around with a Bible under your arm. Amen. Pulling out the gospel shotgun and letting everybody have it, telling them this, that, and the other. But it's not also hiding it under a bushel somewhere and not letting your light shine at all. Praise God. We ought to make our boast in the Lord. And if somebody says, how are you doing today? That's a good one right there. That's an open door. You know what? God's been good to me. I'm doing really good today. It opens the door right there. Amen. It's bragging on God. It's boasting on God. Amen. And if he's the greatest thing in our life, then we're going to talk about that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. I'm going to finish here tonight. Acts chapter 3. And verse 1 through verse 8. I'm not going to go read the whole story. But they went into the temple. They saw the lame man at the gate of the temple, right? Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I don't have anything, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give to you the God that I have. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. What a wonderful thing that is. Praise God. But we can't go around bragging, well, I prayed for this one and they were healed. Amen. Because I was in a 5-hour prayer meeting. Amen. I could just see it right now. The lame man is healed. Everybody knows about it. It's making a big deal. And Peter goes to John. That's the two that was there. And he said, John, I just feel like we need to start SP Ministries. Amen. Simon Peter. SP Ministries. Or maybe we ought to call it Apostolic Tent Revival Ministries Incorporated. Amen. And let's get something going here. No, he didn't do that. It was totally, completely opposite of that. Everybody came along, and the lame man was healed in verse 11 and 12. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, he hung on to them. He locked his arms around them, and he was jumping up and down. Just get a hold of the picture. He was jumping up and down. He's saying, these men prayed for me and I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed.
Amen.
Amen. And he was holding on to them because he thought that they were the ones that had done that. And all the people ran together. They wanted to see what was happening. And they were greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto them, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Praise God. I'm telling you, we've got to learn how to transfer the glory over to God. Whatever takes place in our life, we've got to learn to transfer it over to God. Whatever it is, from the littlest to the biggest, amen, from the smallest to the biggest, we ought to be able to transfer the glory to God, because whatever we have and whatever we do, amen, whatever goes on that is good, we are going to give God the glory for it. Amen. We're going to give God the praise for it. We're not going to boast about this, that, or the other, but we must make our boast in the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. And he goes on, and all these people gathered together. He could have postured himself. But in verse 16 he says, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And in those verses between verse 12 and verse 16, Peter stood up and began to declare, and guess what he preached? You read it for yourself and look at it for yourself. He preached repentance. He preached repentance. He didn't say, "Oh, God's a healer. Anybody else need healing? Come on, we're going to pray for you." That's what we do. But he got up and he said, This is the work of God Almighty, and you have forsaken him, you have crucified him, and you need to repent and come to God. Oh, help us, Lord, to put our boast in God tonight. Amen. They didn't use it as a launching pad for their own purposes, but it led them to begin to preach repentance and salvation and the need to deal with their sins. No wonder there were thousands upon thousands of people that began to give their lives to God in the early church, because the transfer of glory was not to man, but it was to God. It wasn't to man, it was to God. Let's stand together tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just do this here tonight. Let's put this in its proper place. All right. That settles that. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
That settles that. We're not going to go there. But we're going to boast in our authority. We're going to boast in others. Amen. Amen. And we're going to make our boast in the Lord. Praise God. What a wonderful opportunity we have tonight.
Amen.
I want you to know I love and appreciate everybody that's here tonight.
Amen.
I really think a lot of all of you. Amen. I really don't feel worthy to be here tonight, to be the pastor of this church, and to do and to see what God has done through this old piece of iron, this old axe. Amen. That God has allowed us to chop down a few trees. Amen. And to build something here. You know what? It's all God. God gets the glory for everything that's done in our lives. Do you love him tonight? Do you really love him tonight? Amen. I guess the underlying principle and the thing that is so very important in us, John the Baptist, who was the greatest man that was ever born of anybody, he came along and he said, "He must increase, I must decrease." And if you're struggling to live for God, it's because there's more of you than there is of God. And if you'll just say the same thing that he said, "He must increase." Amen. So start boasting of him. Don't tell lies about him. Don't make up healings that didn't take place. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But we're talking about the goodness of God. And when something great happens, it was God that did that.
Amen.
And we're going to praise God for that. And we're going to thank God for that. Amen. Because all good things come down from above and proceed from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. I want us to pray before we leave here tonight. And I believe that the Lord can do this here tonight. If you're struggling and you want to get closer to God, while we're praying, I want you to come on up to the front. And some of you can come and we'll pray for you tonight. And I believe the power of the Holy Ghost to come down in this place. And God will do something in your life to establish you. Amen. To set you free from whatever it is that you're battling in your heart and your spirit tonight. Amen. So let's join together right now. Let's